Like the announcer said, this is the Jim Rome Show, starring me, Jim Rome. What's up? Welcome to the program. Great to have you on this Tuesday. The show is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. By Quicken Loans, Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Once again, a ton of NFL news to get to. Some breaking news this morning. I'd love to get you involved. Let's go ahead and do this. Go ahead and give me a call right now. Phone lines are open. I've got three interviews, and we're going to go back to back, but they do not start until 40 past, meaning this segment is open, next segment is open. 1-800-636-8686. Use it. That phone number is paid for. It is toll-free. It has not changed in years. It's good in the U.S. It's good in Canada. It's there for you. Come and get it. 1-800-636-8686. If you're not about the phones, you want to hit me up on Twitter, that works too. Follow me at Jim Rome. And once again, the email address is still Rome, R-O-M-E, at Habitate.com. Ton of NFL. In fact, I've got three NFL interviews coming up at 40 past hour number one. A linebacker for the Detroit Lions, Devon Kennard. That's at 40 past. Top of hour number two, we talk some Green Bay Packer football, Aaron Jones. A running back joins us. Also in the second hour, a linebacker for Tampa Bay, Lavonte David. Three NFL interviews, lots of NFL content, lot to get to. You have your phone number. All right, why don't we talk about last night's game? Why don't we start right here? Nobody wants to hear somebody say, "I told you so," because everybody hates that guy. I would never be that guy. I will not do that. I have never done that, and I will not do that. Yes, I will. I told you so. Everybody busted out their shovels. They pushed the Browns into that shallow grave, and they started to throw dirt on them. Everybody threw them in the trash. Everybody blasted them for being overrated. Everybody said, same old Browns. Same old Browns, all the hype had gone to their heads. Overrated, overhyped. Everybody said it. Not me. No, I said it right here. And I said it on the NFL Today on CBS, that the Browns were not done after week one, that the Browns would win last night. Cleveland 23, Jets 3, haters 0. Hell yes. 1-0 on the week. Enjoy it, haters. And enjoy that video that the Browns' official Twitter account posted of the fellas doing the opening credits to Friends. See that on CBS Sports Network. You're watching that. Juice, Odell, Demarius, Denzel, JC, Joel, goofing off around a couch, ice tubs, and a Gatorade fountain. It's fun, man. It's a good way to celebrate a win. A perfect way to celebrate a win. Isn't that right, Dasmati? Speaking of wins, Dasmati, how's the city of Monterey Park treating you? Or Alhambra? Or Brea? Or wherever the hell you went? Anyway, Dasmati, this is not about you as much as you want it to be. No, it's about the Browns. So let's talk some more about the Browns. They'll be the first ones to tell you that was not pretty. That there is still a lot of work to be done. Things have to be cleaned up. And their upcoming schedule is a meat grinder. They know this. But everybody who buried them last week can slam that crow Sando right down their throats right now. No, the offense is not a finished product. But there were flashes. Flashes like this.
Snap back. He's got it. Looking middle. Looking far right. Going down the right sideline. And a one-handed grab by Beckham. But he is out of bounds. And now they're going to say he's got it inside the five at the four. What a catch by Beckham with his right hand.
If you missed it tonight, you'll see it on TV tomorrow. That's for sure.
Browns Radio. And that is Odell Cornelius Beckham Jr., if you need him, America's receiver. That's how you show up in your old house on the opening drive. Man, that catch was ridiculous, but he makes it look so easy. It's almost tempting to see it and just kind of shrug. Like, yeah, and? Dude does it every single day in practice. Hell, he practically does it every single week in games. Seen it a million times. Been there, done that. Now tell me something I don't already know. Show me something I haven't already seen. Or you could see that clip and think, now wait a second. Did you see his visor? There's way too much tint on that thing. We're not having that. Who the hell let Darth Vader on the field? And what's he doing rocking an OBJ gamer? You know the officials, they're like, hey, if we let that guy do that, others will want to do it too. Then all of our players won't look and act exactly the same. And what if kids are watching? What will they think if they see a dude with a tinted visor? Nope, the officials were not having it at all. And they made him leave the game on third down in the red zone to address that dangerous and wrong message-sending visor immediately. Because that's a pretty important thing to take care of right then and right in that moment. We don't need to get into some discussion about some of the league's absurd uniform rules. But if the visor is such a big deal, either address it before the game or after the series. But not right in the middle of the series. But then again, the refs are absolutely killing it so far this season, so they probably got that one right, and nobody should complain about it. The only person happy about Beckham being taken off the game, or out of the game, for that tinted visor was Jets D coordinator Greg Williams. You remember Greg, right? He was the guy who had that presser earlier in the week and got off some real beauties. You know, beauties like Odell who?
Odell who?
Remember that. Odell who?
Odell who?
Odell who? Has anybody anywhere at any time ever been more proud of anything than Greg Williams was of Greg Williams for getting off that line? Odell who?
Odell who?
This guy dropped that line. Odell who?
Odell who?
And then just sat there, styling it, admiring his work. Odell who?
Odell who?
And then, when a reporter referred to Beckham as, quote, one of the most dynamic receivers in the league, end quote, Williams immediately brought the fire, opened up his gap, and started to spill copious amounts of burning lava.
That's your opinion?
What's
New York's opinion? The Giants' opinion. What did the Giants do?
Are you kidding me? Again, the question, in that moment, was there anybody anywhere in the world happier to be who they were than Greg Williams? Anybody happier about anything than he was about that? That's your opinion? Whoa. What's New York's opinion?
What's New York's opinion?
The Giants' opinion. What did the Giants do? Are you kidding me?
What's New York's opinion?
Whoa. What's New York's opinion?
What's New York's opinion?
Hey, Triple G, how you feeling now? What's your opinion?
What's New York?
What's the Jets' opinion? What did the Jets do? And then again, this is the same look at me dude who literally chastised the media during the week when he said this.
You know, and you guys are cooperating, giving him attention. Just don't give him attention.
The same guy who roasted Odell before the game only to get completely abused and humiliated by him during the game.
Here's Mayfield throwing, and it's Odell Beckham Jr. in the clear. 35, 40, he's to the 50, he's running to the 40, he's going into the end zone. 10, 5, touchdown, he's arrived back in the end zone at MetLife Stadium.
Browns radio. Whoa, you think about that? Hey, Greg, you and your crew might want to give Odell a little more attention because he just made you look like a clown. He went from 0 to 60 in a hurry. Well, maybe not 60, but 0 to 21.7 miles per hour, the fastest any NFL player has run on a scoring play this year. And I'm half surprised that Greg Williams didn't go Woody Hayes and run onto the field at 21.8 miles per hour and then try to take Beckham down. Would anybody have been surprised by that? Ran onto the field screaming, affect the head, affect the head, damn it, affect the freaking head. And you knew Beckham was going to have something for Greg after the game, which he did. When asked about Triple G Greg at the podium, his response was, and I quote, who?
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 Perfect. So he just did to Williams what everybody tried to do to the Browns after last week. Stuffed them in a trash can. You come back to New York, you play in your old stadium, you make reference to all the games that you lost in that stadium playing on a bad team. You have 6 receptions, 161 yards, a touchdown, a miraculous one-handed grab early on, and then you drop a who after the game. Game, set, match, Beckham, thanks for coming. Even Baker had this gem for Triple G after the game.
This week, New York's defensive coordinator suggested that Odell is not a dynamic playmaker. Do you feel like he showed otherwise tonight?
He said that?
Yes.
Jesus. That's next question.
Quote, he said that? Jesus. Next question, Alvin.
Jesus. That's next question.
He goes, Jesus blast.
Jesus.
Like he was shocked by that. That's how bad a take that was. Beckham is not a playmaker. Listen, say what you want about Odell Beckham. You can say a lot of things about Odell Beckham, and some of these things might be true in fact. But to say this guy's not a playmaker, and then to watch him go out and make that one-handed grab along the sideline and get both feet down, and then to split that defense and go 89 yards to the house, running 21.7 miles per hour, and you're on record as saying, oh, no, he's not a playmaker. Man, what a bad take. A really bad take. Just like saying the Browns were done after week one was a bad take. Again, I'll be clear about this. Beckham and the rest of the Browns will be the first to tell you, Baker too, that was not a perfect performance. They are not a finished product. They do need to get better on both sides of the ball. Myles Garrett had one nasty sack after another, but he also had too many penalties. The offense never got into rhythm. Baker Mayfield did not seem completely comfortable behind that offensive line. All of that needs to get better. All of that needs to improve, especially with the Rams coming up next. But this is not about that. This is about righting the ship, preventing a panic, getting to 1-0 on the week, which is exactly what they did. Not dead, can't quit. And believe me, nobody in that room is going to quit. Not after one bad week. Even if rats were scurrying to jump off that ship and everybody was rushing in to bury them after only one game. Again. I'm not saying they are where they need to be overall. What I am saying is they did what they needed to do. They handled their business. They responded to the challenge. They won like I said they would. And Beckham abused and embarrassed the hell out of Triple G. 1-800-636-8686.
What's New York's opinion?
What's New York's opinion?
What's New York's opinion?
Look in the mirror.
He said that?
Yes.
Jesus. That's next question.
Wow. That was Monday night. And I've got more thoughts on that too. 1-800-636-8686. I've got more thoughts on the Jets. I've got more thoughts on Crazy Eyes. I thought Adam Gase was the mastermind. I thought he was a genius offensively. You know, injuries aside, bad luck aside, quarterback injuries aside, where is the mastermind? If ever there was a time for the mastermind to show up as a so-called mastermind, it was right then and there. How smart do you have to be to give the ball to Le'Veon Bell? So where's this mastermind that we keep hearing about? Come on, man. You have your telephone number. In addition to that, breaking news this morning, the Giants are making a quarterback switch. Daniel Jones is in. Eli Manning is out. Easiest decision ever. What took so long? We will get to that. In addition to that, talk some baseball. Some Mets baseball. I want to talk about a fan who brought a glove to a game and chose not to use it. If you're an adult and you bring a glove to a game, you better use it. This guy did not. Hello, Mr. President.
It's lit!
It's red!
It's lit!
Hawk, is your back so jacked up that you can't walk in the studio? Is that why Ike Eisenhower is here? What are you holding up, bro? What is that? Hawk has an ice pack. Oh, man. Andrew Lane on Twitter, quote,
ice.
Do you have some ibuprofen to go with your ice.
Ibuprofen.
Andrew Lane tweets, Greg Williams saying Odell who? Makes Jerry Jones saying Zeke who? Seems sane. The Cowboys didn't have to play Zeke the week following. War OBJ reminding New York exactly who he is. Why do you want to do that? Why do you want to call that guy out? He's coming back home against you, your defense. Of course the guy went off.
Odell who?
Man, Williams is like, everybody's all, man, he's so brash. Man, he's so colorful. Lame and tired is more like it. Man, they got abused. And no, they're not where they need to be, but they did what they had to do. Now, they've got to clean some things up, and they've got a stiffer challenge against the Rams. But 1 week at a time, that's what we're talking about. When we come back, I've got an open segment with some open phones. Devon Kennard coming up. Aaron Jones coming up. Levante David coming up. Clones, what do we all want when we're craving protein or we need some more energy? Not bars, not sugary snacks, not energy drinks. We want beef, pure and simple. Where is the beef? It's in a package of Old Trapper beef jerky. Old Trapper is not your father's jerky. You know, shriveled, dry, tasteless. Old Trapper beef jerky is made from lean strips of steak. Quality spices that are smoked over a real wood fire. It's tender, it's tasty, it's not tough. So why is it so good? Because Old Trapper is a 50-year-old family business known for its relentless commitment to quality. They take smoked beef extremely seriously, and you can taste it in every single bite. Old Trapper is packed with protein. It comes in four great flavors to satisfy all your cravings. Quality smoked meat at its finest that goes wherever you go. To the game, to the gym, to the beach. So make sure you look for Old Trapper in the Clearview bag. That way you can see the quality that you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores near you. Clones, if you don't see it, ask for it by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
It is so great to have the NFL season back, and it is moving fast. Sunday, NFL on CBS, a doubleheader first. You've got Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs opening up their 2019 home schedule against Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. Man, I'll say it again, what a great matchup. Then you've got Teddy Bridgewater and the Saints
Jackson.
Going to Seattle for a late afternoon showdown with the Seahawks. Full day of football starts with JB and the fellas on the NFL Today on CBS. Once again, I was there over the weekend. It was so great to see the family. How about me calling them the fam? I show up there, I get my 3 minutes in their family. It's good times, though, man. All I know is they treat me like family, and it's awesome to be there. This is really, really surprising. I didn't expect this kind of reaction at all coming off last night's game and my opening take. So why don't we address the not-so-small elephant in the room? Wells in the 360 leading the charge with the predictable reaction on Twitter. You're right. The Browns are back. They beat the New York Jets and their third string QB. That's really impressive. Signed flipping a water bottle and having it land right side up. Squirrel 2 tweets. The Browns win over the Jets is impressive. Signed countries who've defeated France in wars. Of course, you know, y'all could not wait to rush in and murder them after they had that horrible first week. Something which I owned, something which I said. I mentioned after calling them America's team throughout the end of last season and the entire offseason that they came out. And I also said that that loss in week one was not just a loss, but a 2x4 to the head. That it couldn't have gone any worse. That it was the biggest letdown ever. I also said I would not bury them after 1 week. I would not murder them after 1 week the way so many of you did. So, of course, those of you who did that are now rushing right back in to say, yeah, Rome, great win. They beat the Jets and their third-string quarterback. You can only play who is in front of you. What did you want them to do? Go to the commissioner and try to flex in the Chiefs? They have to play the team in front of them. Everybody wanted to kill this team and talk about how soft they were, how overhyped they were, how overrated they were. You same people were waiting for them to go on the road in prime time and choke so you could finish them off. And then when that didn't happen, now you're bitter and you've got nothing to say other than great win. Way to beat that third string quarterback. Man, tip your cap and keep moving. They did what they had to do. For once, I agree with Phil Jackson. Man, give them some bleeping credit.
Give them some credit. I mean, for real.
Hey, and by the way, enough of this. They beat the Jets in their third string quarterback. They beat the Jets, coached by Adam Gase. Remember? The mastermind. The greatest offensive mind since Bill Walsh. Remember? He's a genius. Remember? No credit for that? How about the defensive mastermind, Greg Williams, another genius? Ask him.
Affect the head.
Of course you're bitter. Of course you're rushing back in right now. You can't have it both ways. I guarantee it. The same people saying right now, what did they do? Who did they beat? They beat a third-string quarterback. Had they done what you said they were going to do, you'd be killing them right now. I'm saying one week at a time. I'm saying that I did not bury them after the first week, and I guarantee they'd win on Monday night, and they did. 1-0 on the week, yo. 1-0. And I also said, maybe five times during that take in the open, they have things to clean up. They have places where they need to get better. They've got to get better on both sides of the ball. Baker Mayfield put up big numbers, made some plays, but oftentimes did not look comfortable behind that offensive line. The Rams are going to make it tougher, but they did what they had to do. Tip your hat, keep moving, give them some credit. And we'll talk about the Jets. And crazy eyes. And Adam Gase. Dude's a little weird now. Normally weird's good. Normally weird is good. I say that all the time, right? Weird is good. But sometimes weird is just weird. Last night would have been an awesome time to show some of that offensive genius. Didn't see it. I also want to talk about the Steelers and the move that they made. They give up a first rounder for a DB. A good DB. A young DB. On a good contract. But you think maybe that first-round draft pick may have come in handy next year? You think you might have used that for something else you need? Like, I understand that the Steelers could not get off the field defensively. I understand that Seattle went down the field on them and won that game. I understand they have problems defensively, and they saw a defensive player who was available. But are you sure you want to burn a first-round pick? I tried to tell the Steelers yesterday, your season is over. So now you're trying to keep it alive and chase? By giving up a really valuable first-round pick? Yeah, I wouldn't have done that. And that is not in any way an indictment against Mason Rudolph, who I like. Mike D for three, jumping in. You think Greg Williams' soundbite is surprising? Baby, you ain't seen nothing yet. Signed, Bachman Turner Overdrive. Now we're talking. I need a little more of that, Alvy. Mike D for three. You are a volume shooter, bro. You tweet me enough times, you might get one that's good. BTO. That's why Alvin DeLauro makes the big money. Get some, Alvy. You do you, Alvy. You ain't seen nothing yet, G. G. PTO. It's taking care of business right there. All right, still ahead. More telephone calls. I've got Devon Kennard coming up next. We're talking Lions football. Detroit beat the Chargers. We'll get his thoughts. Top of the hour, Packers running back Aaron Jones. Levante David coming up next hour. Third hour's wide open. And I've got a lot more to get to. It's good to be with you on this Tuesday. Alvin DeLauro, if you need him. The senior member of the XR4TI. The smartest guy on the other side of the glass. Probably the smartest guy in the building.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. We are going back-to-back. Packers running back Aaron Jones, top of the hour. But as promised, we are joined right now by a linebacker for the Detroit Lions. He had five tackles and a fumble recovery in Sunday's win over the Chargers. For the season, nine tackles, three sacks. He was the 174th pick overall in 2014 at USC. Detroit is 1-0-1 on the season. They're at Philadelphia on Sunday. Devon Kennard is my guest. Devon, nice to have you on. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Good. Good to have you. Listen, you're coming off that win over the Chargers, 13-10. You and the defense put the clamps on a really good offense. As a defense, what was your mindset going into that game?
Oh, you know, we knew they had talent all over the field. So, you know, it was just all about, you know, trying to limit what they did with the explosive plays. And you know, that we were playing, but bow up in the red zone, and that's exactly what we did.
You bowed up in the red zone for sure. Now, when you look at Philip Rivers, and you just touched on this, but when you look at him specifically and you look at the weapons he has around him, what was the biggest key to holding them to just 10 points?
I think, you know, a combination of everybody kind of playing well and working together. You know, it's a good pass rush, the secondary doing their job, and then, you know, we had to stop the run, which honestly we could have done a better job of. So I think it was just a collective effort and that bend but don't break kind of mentality.
Devon Kennard joining us on the program. So the Chargers were threatening in the third quarter, and then you came up with that fumble recovery on the one-yard line. Take me through the play. How did that develop, and what did you see?
Yeah, I was on the edge, and, you know, Eckler got the ball and jumped. I think he jumped a little too early, and some of the inside backers, you know, started punching at the ball. Jelani Tavai, our rookie, and he knocked the ball out, and I was on the edge just trying to collapse and get in on the play, and I saw the ball come out, and it was between me and the tight end, and I just jumped on it and recovered the ball. So it was a huge play by Jelani, and I was glad I was able to get up and get the turnover, and you know, for them to be on the one-yard line and end up with no points, that was a big stop for us, you know, especially considering the end score of the game.
Yeah, an enormous stop for you, but then you knew they'd come back because they battle, they grind, and then they were driving late in the fourth quarter with a chance to take the lead or tie it, and then Darius Slay comes up with that interception in the end zone with just over a minute left to seal it. What was your reaction when you saw him with the ball?
You know, I was laughing. His nickname is Big Play Slay, and I guess it's for a reason. You know, that was a huge play by him and just super exciting for us. You know, they were getting in position to be able to kick a game-tying field goal and take us into overtime. So for him to be able to make that huge play was, you know, a big play by him and a play we needed in the game.
Detroit's 1-0-1 with Detroit Lions linebacker Devon Kennard is my guest. So as I mentioned, as a team, you're undefeated, but at the same time, at least from the outside, it feels like maybe you have not played your best football yet. How much of the early part of the season is sometimes just finding a way to get results even when you're not firing on all cylinders just yet?
I think that's a huge part of it. You know, early in the year, teams are still figuring themselves out, still working out a lot of kinks, and it's, you know, who can execute the best and who could finish for, you know, a full four quarters. And I don't think we did that necessarily week one with ending in a tie. I think we should have won that game, but we, you know, let that one slip and ended in a tie. But we're able to do it week two. And now we got to take the lessons, and the most important thing is continue to get better and continue to learn. Because if you stay the same, that's where the good teams start to become great, and there's, you know, real separation there.
You know, it's always said too, you can't stay the same, right? You're either getting better or you're getting worse. Nobody stays the same. I know you're looking ahead, but you're from the Phoenix area. So, what was it like for you to go back to Arizona for the season opener and have three sacks, come up with a game like that?
Oh, you know, it was great just to start the year. Start the year that way was, you know, definitely a blessing, but it would have been sweeter if it was a win. You know, I wanted to win. That's what's most important to me. I'm trying to help my team win, and whatever I got to do in whatever capacity to get a win and help the team win, that's what I want to do. And you know, it was a bittersweet moment having a pretty good game, but then you know, having it end in a tie. So It was cool to be able to see my family and all that, but, you know, it was right back to work after that.
Listen, I hear what you're saying. I heard the response. I know what you're saying. It's about the win more than anything else. But when you have a three-sack game, what's it like when you're having a game like that? Guys always talk about what it's like to get into a zone. Does it feel different? Does it feel like you can get to the quarterback almost anytime you want to? What's it like in the middle of a game like that?
I mean, definitely. You get in a rhythm and you feel comfortable and get a good sense of you know what's working for you, what isn't, and a good sense of what the offense is doing. And I felt like I definitely got in that rhythm. I had a lot of pressures and hurries in that game as well, and you know, it was just a game where I felt like I had one of the hot hands, and I was trying to do everything I could to help the team, but you know, didn't do enough of it later in the game. You know, let Kyler Murray get comfortable, and you know, we saw how that ended with them coming back into the game.
Devon Kennard joining us. I know you're looking ahead, but since you mentioned Kyler Murray, what are your thoughts? Like, he had a little trouble getting going, and then he got hot late. We already know athletically what he's capable of. What was your sense of what he could do both with his arm and his legs? What was it like to match up with him?
Oh, you know, he's a great quarterback. I think he has a bright future, but, you know, as you said, I'm focused on Carson Wentz this week. That's who where my eyes and attention's on. He's playing another, you know, starting off the season with three great quarterbacks, and you know, all my attention's on Carson Wentz, who could do it with his legs and his arm.
Fair enough. Listen, in the build-up to that game, though, you talked about how when you were growing up, your brother encouraged you to study Terrell Suggs. What do you remember about studying Suggs, and what did you learn from watching him?
You know, with Terrell, he's just such a dynamic player. He's been dominant since his, you know, high school days. And growing up in the same area, you know, I've been able to watch him from afar pretty much my whole life, or, you know, my whole, like, football life anyway. So, like, he's just always been a dynamic player who knew how to get after the quarterback and make big plays. And you know, being from a community right down the street from where I grew up, he's just always been somebody I looked up to and admired. So being able to share the field with him a couple times in my career now has been special for me.
Well, not only to share the field with him, but there's a story from back when you played with the Giants, and he was with the Ravens. You played against each other in a game. Afterwards, he came over, he gave you a hug, and he said, quote, "I'm proud of you." What did that moment mean to you? What was that like?
It was huge. It was one of those, like, your idol becomes your rival type of situations,
right?
Where, like, that's my whole life I've been looking up to this guy, watching him on film, and all these things. And, you know, we're from the same area, so I figured he knew who I was. But for him to you know, come up to me and embrace me that way and tell me that, you know, I think I don't think he knows how much that meant to me in that moment. And you know, we kind of did the same thing after this game against the Cardinals. And, you know, he had a couple of sacks. I had three. And you know, just being able to tell each other, keep going, and you know, congratulating him on getting with the Cardinals, leaving Baltimore, and you know, it's just, you got a good relationship like that now.
Lions at Philadelphia on Sunday. Linebacker Devon Kennard joining us for a couple of more moments. You know, as part of your legacy, you're thinking about that too. You said, quote, "For as long as I can remember, my dream has been play this game as good as I can, for as long as I can, win a Super Bowl, create generational wealth for my family, leave a legacy by what I represent and how I treat others," end quote. Like, everybody who plays football dreams of playing in a Super Bowl. We know this. But when did you start thinking about the legacy component of it and how you want people to remember you?
You know, I think it's always been something that was important to me. But especially once I got into college, I realized that, you know, no matter what, this game's going to end for everybody at some point, and I wanted to represent something more than just being a football player. You know, I feel like that's limiting to myself and to my family and what I want to represent. If all I'm ever known for is Devon Kennard, who had, you know, X amount of years career in the NFL, if that's all I'm ever known for and I don't do anything else outside of that, then, you know, I don't see that as true success. I want to impact the lives of the people around me, my family, my friends, the communities that I'm in. And, you know, that's always been important to me. And it's something that, you know, I try to not only say, but I walk and I represent every day.
Devon Kennard joining us. So as part of that legacy component, since arriving with the Lions, you've been involved in the Midnight Golf Program. For those who don't know, what is the Midnight Golf Program? How did you first get involved?
It's an after-school program And when I first, so when I was in New York, there was another program called New City Kids that I worked with. That was an after school program as well, inner city working with kids. And I came to Detroit and I wanted to find, something similar. And I have a passion for working with kids and giving back. And I feel like they're our future. And I think I have a unique perspective because although I'm an athlete, you know, when you go to inner cities, a lot of kids believe they got to be, you know, an athlete or, you know, be a rapper and that's all they can do. And you know, I'm somebody who's always taken school seriously and I have other interests outside of just playing football. And I want to, you know, I kind of relayed the message that, you know, you can do other things and there's other ways to find success outside of just sports. And even if you are playing sports, you know, it's okay to show interest in other things and to get good grades and to read. And, you know, reading is another big one of mine. I'm always trying to learn and grow. And so to actually be able to be an example of somebody who's doing that, but while playing in the NFL, I think, you know, kids have gravitated towards that. And at Midnight Golf, it's an after-school program for high school seniors, and they're transitioning, getting ready to transition into college, and they help them with application processes and mentorship and just what life is going to be like when they leave high school. And you know, they have a great success rate in getting helping kids get into college and, you know, onto successful careers. And I think that's really awesome. So I've devoted a lot of my time and energy to helping their efforts.
I think that is awesome. Devon Kennard joining us for another moment or so. You're in your second season with the Lions. And I can say, having been and spent some time in that town, that is such a good football town. It's a great, great football town, but a town that hasn't had a ton of success of late. What would it mean to you to bring a winner to that city?
Oh, man, it would be huge. You know, this city deserves it. You know, coming here, seeing, you know, I wake up early to go to work and the freeway is already packed with hard-nosed people heading into work, every day. And you know, I really embrace that mentality of this city. And they deserve a winning team. And you know, I'm hopeful that we can be able to provide that for them this year. And you know, that's what we're working towards every day.
They're undefeated right now. Detroit 1-0-1 on the season. They're at Philadelphia Sunday. Another stiff challenge coming up. Linebacker Devon Kennard off to a really good start. Played his college ball out here at USC. Devon, great job. Really nice to have you back on the program again. Nice to talk to you. Thank you.
Nice talking to you as well. Thanks for having me on.
Good job, man. Really well done. Really well done. I do another disclaimer, but the USC guys, it's almost uncanny. USC players, when they're at USC, when they graduate from USC, when they leave USC, you can say it's because it's a major media market. You can say it's because it's a major program. You can say it's reps. Whatever it is, it's uncanny. Trojans always interview exceptionally well in the program. He's no different. I mean, I could run down literally dozens of USC players over the year. Again, while they were there, and even once they got to the NFL, and then after. And that's the latest example. Devon Kennard, really good conversation. Really well done. When we come back, let's keep it in division. Packers running back Aaron Jones joins us, top of the hour. Also next hour, Tampa Bay Bucks linebacker Lavonte David. The third hour is wide open. I'll talk more about last night's game. I already gave you my thoughts on the Browns. I want to talk about it from the Jets standpoint. You know from yesterday, Drew Brees out for probably 6 weeks, unless you believe my guy, Dr. Trevor Price, who says it might be 12 weeks. Trevor's like, I've played the game, all right? I've seen that injury. I've been in the middle of that before. When a guy hits his hand on another guy's hand that is taped as tightly as Aaron Donald's was, that is not a six-week injury.
6 weeks is not it, man. That's going to be 12, 13 weeks. That might be season ending.
Trevor also made the point that when you've got a guy coming in at 20 miles per hour and you've got a quarterback whose hand is also traveling at 20 miles per hour, that is not a six-week injury. That was Trevor yesterday. We'll see. Maybe he's right. I don't think so, but maybe. Aaron Jones joins us when we come back. Don't go anywhere.